What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Friday Sessions. This week, we talked about the Iranian ambassador getting booted out of the country as a result of this horrific news that it is very likely that the Iranian government was behind the attacks on synagogues in Australia, on Australian soil. Very, very sad news, but raises a lot of big questions around what's happening in the country right now. In addition to that, we've talked about some crazy news out of the world of Elon Musk, one of his new startups, and how it is set to disrupt one of the largest companies on the planet that people thought would never be disrupted. And it's also got a fairly hilarious undertone, as it always does with Elon. We then talk about flag burning, and we looked at some new laws that come out of the US banning flag burning in the United States. Instant, unnegotiable, 1 year jail term, what we think about that. We also were joined right at start by a very special guest that you're going to see in a minute coming in from the United States digitally to wish all of unemployable followers all the very best, and a whole bunch more. We talked about really what's happening in this country right now, how much we love Australia and why it needs to be protected. And then we took the show out with a special promotion from one of our 60-year-old followers who has started a business in the AI space that is super interesting. And it's right at the end. They started this out of inspiration that was offered to them on the pod, and they've now got this growing business around making cartoons for kids. And it's just a beautiful story right at the end. So with that said, guys, please make sure you've hit that subscribe button. That's all we ask. We make these sessions so that you guys can grow, so you've got something interesting to listen to every week from a bunch of Aussie blokes that are just good mates talking about life, business, and everything in between. All we ask is you hit the subscribe button so that we can get better guests into the show for you. With that said, have a great show. Enjoy. Drop a comment. Bye for now. So here we are, joined by Eric, James, and Pablo.
the mini Pablo.
For those of you listening on Spotify today, we have got Mark here with his buttons undone to his belly button, and he seriously looks like an arms dealer or Pablo Escobar. I can't make my mind up.
He started a new business, and we'll let you guys guess what that is.
Hard times.
And it's definitely trading buy low, sell high. That's
definitely going up the risk curve, mate.
We're at the boxing on the kickboxing on Saturday, and rocked in, and this guy, you could have smelt some bags or some guns on him somewhere. he was just the most hip dude in the room.
So basically, he looks like a Gold Coast real estate agent.
the guy to Scarface, you know, and then I was just saying to people, say hello to my little friend.
Got the little
All right, guys. So listen, guys, I got a little surprise for you this morning. We're going to kick this off. If you're watching on YouTube, you might recognize this face that I'm going to hold up to the phone. But listening, I think you'll probably recognize the voice anyway. So let me play this to you. It's a little surprise gift from me to you from a friend of mine all the way in Florida in the United States. So let's play this, and hopefully you enjoy it as much as I did.
Eric, Mark, and James, Adam whispered to me that you guys are running a podcast, a massive set, beautiful set apparently, put a bunch of money into it, unemployable, and you guys just got to 32,000 subs. You're celebrating every 5,000 subs. Happy for you all the way in Australia. By the way, Australia's number two or number three on all of Manect. Very, very happy for you guys. It's the one place I've not been to that I'm looking forward to going. I almost went there last year for two or three keynotes. Schedule wouldn't permit. Hopefully one of these days I will keep kicking ass. I cannot wait to celebrate 100,000 subs with you guys. God bless.
There you go, boys.
You would count 100,000.
PBD.
The man, PBD.
The goat.
Adam, you should go back to him and say, look, we're on 32, run 33,000. You make your prediction come true much quicker if you just jump on the pod, dude.
Yeah, I might actually go back and suggest that. So very, very cool message from PBD in the States, wishing this little Aussie kangaroo-esque podcast all the best. So a little bit from me to you. What a legend. So, guys, let's kick off. I think there's so much on the ticket today But, you know, I just want everybody watching this to understand we record the Friday pods on Tuesday, and this story is literally less than an hour old as the time we go to recording right now. But it's a pretty big story. The PM was just on TV, flanked by AFP and ASIO, saying that they have just evicted the Iranian, ambassador. Yeah, the Iranian ambassador, because they've discovered that they have been operating, the Iranian government has been, it says here, Iran, I'll just load it up here so we got the exact wording, Iran ambassador expelled from Australia, Albanese accuses nation of direct anti-Semitic attacks. For the first time since World War II, a foreign embassy ambassador has been expelled from Australia. The PM gave the diplomat 30 minutes warning before holding a bombshell conference. Australian spy agency ASIO has found that Iran was responsible for a string of anti-Semitic attacks in Australia in a bombshell finding that has prompted the expulsion of Iran's prime minister. And basically goes on to talk about, you know, Penny Wong's thoughts and so on. Well, you know, top of the hour, I first of all want to give some credit where credit's due, that they've acted decisively and taken action on this. And this kind of, you know, I'll open it to your thoughts, but I raised the question, you know, when I was talking about the marches on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and this, I hope people who are watching these, my question was, how did that happen? How did such massive demonstrations actually occur? Who organised and funded that? Now, this certainly adds some colour, perhaps. So it's really interesting that you've got to be very careful about, you know, what's shaping your bias or your approach to things. But let me throw it over to you, Mark or Eric or James. What is it? You have any thoughts initially about this story?
Well, my first thought when you dropped it on the ticket just 5 minutes before we went to air was, didn't Adam kind of allude to that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, that was how it was being organized? And it's like, you know, Adam, you're a pretty smart guy and you got your finger on the pulse, but seriously, if you could like put that together, why did it go this long? I think I have a feeling that the public pressure with the August 31st March for Australia and the uproar that has happened in response to those marches may have been the public pressure that led to ASIO all of a sudden making this finding. I mean, what, you're telling me that they weren't sitting on this information prior? Like, I mean, come on.
Sorry, didn't see you there. While you're here, actually, we've got a new coaching cohort that just opened up for the Unemployable Property Coaching Program that you get taught on how to become a property developer. One-on-one coaching, bi-monthly coaching, and also events, where we get a full coach bus with all the students and go to 6-7 different development sites. When I say development sites, from one lot to 10 lots to 50 lots, you get to see exactly why we buy it, how we buy it, how we fund it, and also how you can do it yourself. The next day, we had an amazing event at the QT Hotel here on the Gold Coast, where we had all of our consultants come in and teach everybody on what they're looking for with sites, what are the different trends, and how you can become a property developer yourself. Now you see me on the video, but who you're gonna be getting coached by is Shannon and Carson. Who's Shannon and Carson? 4 years ago, Carson was cleaning carpets. Shannon was a machine operator. Today, they're doing over $100 million worth of land deals. I know you're listening, and I know you want to take action. And if that's you, click on the link below or go to www.unemployableproperty.com.au and register your interest, and one of our team will reach out to you, and we'll see you on the next bus. Now get out of here.
I think this is somebody wrote, you know, that... in a comment this week, you know, Adam, if you want to do something, you know, why don't you stop bleating on your stupid little podcast and go into politics? And I'm like, this is the battleground of hearts and minds, is this stupid little podcast and is social media. And it's Neanderthals that don't realize this. in the US, that's what every political leader now understands. Here in Australia, you know, you saw in the last election, Albo and the Liberal leadership were just handpicking the low ball, soft ball, you know, pods. They didn't want to actually go out there in any real way and talk to people who had real opinions and really passionate followers who would get viral content. They just played it safe.
Low ball takes on a different meaning. I mean, they went on Abby Chatfield. She had what is she's like. I'm not even going to say anything because, you know, mum once told me if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. But like, if you go and have a look at some of the stuff that she posts, calling for presidents to be killed and things like that. I mean,
so yeah. Anyway, I do think, Mark, to your point, that the, you know, this kind of content, this kind of media that gets shared and is independent is actually the battleground where things get done. And I really do think that I'm saying the collective free press on both sides do matter and do affect things eventually. Any more comments?
It's amazing. I'm just reading the article and it said that it's the first time since World War II that a foreign ambassador has been expelled. And not only that, it was expelled within 30 minutes and a couple other officials at the same time, which is pretty serious, right? But this is the thing, like, we can't just sit back. And yeah,
what was that?
That's a firebombing of a synagogue organized by allegedly. Now, I don't think they'd be kicking the guy out or the girl out who was the ambassador if they didn't have evidence. But just so people can see, that's what it is. It's real. Yeah.
And we're not. I hope that it comes through to the listener. But we're not sitting here saying that Israel is right or Palestine is right, or we're not sitting here taking sides. We're just saying that, you know, a little bit of critical thinking and questioning as to what's really occurring, I think, is really important. And often when you try and think a little bit critically and put alternative thoughts or points of view out there, even if you're trying to steel man both sides, you get hit pretty hard in the comments.
It was the cafe in Bondi, which is, I'd never heard of that Apple attack. But yeah, and then the synagogue in Melbourne. So
I'm showing footage on the screen here just to give people a visual. Like, this is men masked head to toe in black with petrol. You know, this is the security footage setting buildings in this country alight under the direction of a foreign power. It's no small thing.
No, then you wonder what the knock-on effects is going to be when, you know, the Iranian community or the Muslim community, then they get their back up and go, well, you've expelled an ambassador. You know, do they then get together and have a march, but with a bit more gusto?
James, it's going to come back where there'll be more Australians than they're the silent.
That's
minority.
What I'm saying. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, it's civil unrest. It's a real problem. Yeah. Mark.
Adam, you said something that's very pertinent. You said, you know, the real politicking or the real, I'm not sure the words you used, is occurring right here on these podcasts. I mean, why, like, you have to ask yourself the question, why would if allegedly, right, or if it's true or whatever, but if a foreign leader has been involved in the bombing of synagogues, you have to ask yourself, what is the intent behind that? And the intent is to sway public opinion. The intent is to push the propaganda in your favor. And again, I'm not taking sides here. I'm just saying that the war, not just the politics, but the war that is being fought is the war for mind space, right? And correct. these are the games that we have to deal with today. And no left, right, I don't care whose side you're on. Everyone's playing that game at the moment, the game for attention and the game for public opinion. And so it's more important than ever for us to kind of question the things that we see and not march blindly, pardon the pun.
And be politically active. I sent you guys yesterday in the group chat a Pauline clip that we created, and another channel grabbed it. And it had, I think, I can't remember, but it might have been nearly a million views on their channel. So they just grabbed our clip and republished it there. We've had well over a million views on our channel of Pauline's content in all its forms. And then they're grabbing it. Now, when you think about a country of 25 million, that's significant when you're thinking that's one clip of maybe a few thousand that we've put out there by now. Eric, you were going to say something, man.
It just amazes me with all the intelligence we have in this world and that these governments have, that there's still people like this that actually get put in these positions. That, you know, like I just don't, that is mind-boggling to me on all fronts, honestly.
Let's move on from it because it's a pretty dark story and it's still developing, but you know, it is really, again, I don't often say credit to Albo, but I will say credit to Albo for taking decisive action and protecting in this way. So that's great. You know, strong leadership, strong message. You know, just talking about people who get into positions, and I just want to touch on this point before we talk about flags for a second. You know, came out in the week that the advisor to the company that got the machete bins contract was none other than Dan Andrews. So as if Dan Andrews has not caused enough damage to the state of Victoria in the minds of many Victorians, I'm sure he was the advisor to Vizzy, who won the contract for the $350,000 per bin contract. And we saw clips this week again on social of builders coming out saying, I got that job quoted and the highest quote I had to the highest standard was $8,000 or $9,000 per bin. And it got awarded at $350,000 a bin. So, Eric, you talk about how people get in their positions. Crooked. Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on. I dropped a clip this morning on my socials, which came out of Trump, I think it was yesterday, signing into law that if you burn an American flag, you go to jail for a year. I'll just play it quickly so you can just see it and hear it, and then we'll talk about it because it's worth watching. It's just very short and very clear.
If you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail, no early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail. If you burn a flag, you get, and what it does is incite to riot. I hope they use that language, by the way. Did they?
Yeah, incitement.
Incite to riot. And you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. You don't get 10 years, you don't get 1 month. You get 1 year in jail. And it goes on your record. And you will see flag burning stopping immediately, just like when I signed the Statute and Monument Act. 10 years in jail if you hurt any of our beautiful monuments. Everybody left town. They were gone. Never had a problem.
So what do you guys think? Do we think in Australia, drop a comment if you think in this country, if you burn an Aussie flag on Aussie soil, straight to jail. I don't give a shit about your state of mental health. You're in jail for a year. Anybody disagree with this? Let us know.
Go to Singapore, go to Dubai and do the same thing and see what happens. I don't think we're too much different from Trump.
See how that goes.
There was a bunch of kind of right leaning kind of, you know, if it's my flag, I'll burn it if I want to amendment this. And I basically reposted one and I'm like, look, I'm a free speech maximalist, but the burning of a nation's flag that protects the freedom isn't free speech, it's contempt. Burning a nation's flag in public is spitting on the very freedoms it represents. Try that in a country that isn't free and you'll find out about freedom real quick. Mm. Like, it's hypocritical. Like, if you want to burn your flag in your own backyard, fine, but you putting on a show and doing that in public, it's an act of aggression against your country. Like, it does incite violence. It does incite division. Things like that. So it's treasonous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree. But if you're brave and you do disagree, let us know in the comments.
No, but they do, Adam. I was actually surprised at the amount of people, smart people that I respect in the macro space on X, disagreeing with it. Saying,
are you serious?
And they're using the line. You know, free speech is protecting the rights of somebody's opinion, even if you don't disagree with it. But I think the distinction between opinion and almost like an act of war for the country that you are residing in, and they're completely different things. Burning a flag and having an opinion about a country is a completely different thing. Saying, I feel like burning the flag today because this country makes me sick, fine. But actually doing it in public, it's a completely different thing. Like
you could either put them in jail or just deport them.
Well, both, I think. Maybe just deport them because, you know, otherwise the Aussie taxpayer.
Imagine me being caught burning an Australian flag, coming here from Canada, the Seppo, right?
I'd carry you out, bro.
Imagine.
And no, especially even after this week, talking about finding friends in the comments. I mean, your comments are pretty slated enough, Eric, but you got called a fucking lying thief by one of your raving fans this week. So we just want a shout out to Tony Pinkcomb or fucking Pink Dick, whatever your name is.
Yeah.
But he absolutely cut loose. We absolutely cut loose on poor Eric over here. So anyway,
I think that was a straight DM to the unemployable Instagram page as well.
He hates you. Yeah. But Eric, if you did that, they'd probably take you into a 5-star hostel, put you up, give you the best mental health treatment known to man, and a subsidy, and tuck you in a bed at night and say, you know, it's okay.
Couple
Eric,
of we'll help you through this.
And here's the key to your new holiday home, so you can be next to you up next year.
Help you get recover from your mental health. Just remember, Labor gave this to you.
Yeah, and they let you cuddle with a little fluffy kangaroo toy too.
As long as you blog it back to Canada to get more immigrants in.
Come on! What?
All right, now moving on.
What are we doing?
When you
talk about burn your country's flag. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. We've got enough problems. Like the West is in a cold war, is in a hot war. We're in a war with the rest of the world. And we want to burn our own nation's flags. Like, mate, we've been the first to kind of have our critiques of this country, but come on.
Yeah, it's interesting. So changing gears. I don't know if you saw the story this week with the announcement of Elon's new startup called Macro Hard. Did you guys follow that story at all? So it's obviously a piss take on Microsoft. So he's always said Bill Gates is Microsoft. He said, so I'm starting Macro Hard.
That's good.
So Elon Musk unveils a company, Macro Hard, to replicate Microsoft purely with AI. So let me read the caption.
Hey, this is serious. I want to talk about this. This is serious.
This is serious. Yeah. Elon Musk has launched a new AI-focused software company called Macro Hard, which he intends to be a direct competitor to Microsoft. The name is tongue-in-cheek, but the business is very real. Macro Hard is being developed under Musk's existing AI company, xAI. His vision for the company is to create a purely AI software company that can simulate and produce all of the software typically created by a traditional company such as Microsoft. Musk believes that since companies like Microsoft don't manufacture physical hardware, their entire operations can be replicated by AI.
This is it.
The plan for Macro Hard involves using a multi-agent system where specialized AI agents for coding, image generation, and other tasks work together. These agents will then simulate human interaction with the software within a virtual machine to refine to the highest quality standard. This approach is intended to create a wide range of software, including productivity tools, video games that could rival Microsoft's offerings. Macro Hard will leverage xAI's supercomputing infrastructure, including the Colossus supercomputer, and will acquire millions of NVIDIA GPUs to compete with other major AI players like OpenAI, and Meta. The company's trademark was registered in the US Patent Office prior to the public announcement. So he's literally going after Microsoft with AI, with everything.
I think it's bigger than that. I've been doing a bit of research into this, right? A couple of months back, 3 or so months ago, Johnny Ive, the guy who designed the iPhone with Steve Jobs, got his private startup valued at $1 billion or $6 billion. And guess who invested? None other than Sam Altman from OpenAI. So you've got Johnny Ive, the guy who designed the iPhone, in partnership with OpenAI. And then you've got Elon posting things like Microsoft is toast. And I think what he's alluding to is that the smartphone is going to be disrupted. I think what he's trying to create potentially is an operating system, an AI operating system that goes on a new device. And the smartphone that you carry in your pocket won't just be something that uses ChatGPT or uses Grok. It'll eventually, when the technology catches up, will be able to render programs, softwares, apps, etc. on your phone. You'll be able to render all these things and create things off your phone. And I feel like the play that he's really going for is the hardware device.
Well, he's been threatening a Tesla phone for how many different threads you go down rabbit holes waiting for it to launch, and he's going to release it at $250 or $300, so you can basically wipe out Apple's market share and the Android market share. So it's got to be coming soon. It has to be.
And I don't know if it's soon because the amount of processing power that the device would need, right? I feel like that is the hurdle at the moment. But he's mentioned that the only company that he really sees as a threat is Google. And if you look at Google, Google has driving cars. Google has Android, so an operating system. And I think that's and it has AI, right? And I think that's what he's not worried about search, right? It's those elements of Google. Who else could do it? It's Johnny Ive and OpenAI. It's Samsung, maybe. But culturally, can these guys pull it off? Or it's Elon and his web of companies. Tesla has the manufacturing moat that only Apple has. None of these other companies have the manufacturing excellence that Tesla has, except for Apple. But Apple is stuck without an AI partner.
It's super interesting. And obviously the phone market is what built Apple, right? Like, you take the iPhone out of Apple, they would not be the company they are today. And they have just, you know, they have not innovated for the longest time. Since Steve left, everything changed because Warren Buffett wouldn't invest in Apple when Steve was there, because Steve would never want to do stock buybacks or any of that, because he said, let's invest in innovation, innovation, innovation. I saw a story this week where they were breaking this down, and they said when the new guy, Tim Cook, took over, one of the first things they started to cut was all the stuff that Steve and Johnny were into. Like, Johnny used to do launch parties that cost $10, $20 million and bring in the top designers and bring in all these, the media and all this stuff. And the bean counters that took over after Steve left said, we don't need to do this. The phone's going to be successful. You don't need to spend $10, $20 million on a launch party. And they stop funding the brilliance and the innovation of Johnny Ive. And look what's happened to Apple since. Nothing. You know, the reason Buffett came along and invested is because they started doing stock buybacks and started to access that huge pool of cash that was sitting on their balance sheet that Warren told them to start doing. And, you know, Warren made a fortune helping Apple unlock that cash, whereas Steve was always like, compound, compound, invest in the business, invest in the business, invest in the business, like Amazon was doing.
Isn't Buffett out of Apple or significantly
now,
cut his?
I think he's significantly out now because he's milked it. Yeah. This massive cash pool, and he was like, "I'll invest as long as we can get to that cash pool." So Warren's no dummy; he's a very smart guy. But anyway, it's interesting watching these stories.
This is an important one, and again, I don't want to give financial advice, but I ask people to just have a little bit of a look into the landscape at the moment with relation to AI and especially the Mag 7, because Meta has recently gone from cash flow positive to debt, right? And a lot of these companies, the risk that a lot of these companies are facing at the moment is all this CapEx is just to preserve their existing moat and business advantages, not necessarily to succeed in the future. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we lose one or two of the Mag 7.
While we're on this subject, before we move forward, I want to share one other story which out of the US, which hasn't got a lot of traction in Australia, that is absolutely massive in my opinion. And this was a story that, look at this headline. It is, the government is taking a 10% stake in Intel. The US government is taking a 10% stake.
I had call options. I was pretty happy.
Yeah. So the reason this is such a significant story, guys, I heard Jack Mullers talking about this, who's obviously a Bitcoin maxi, but he was basically saying, guys, the US model, you know, of being the central reserve bank of the world is not breaking. It's broken. It is done. When you see the government starting to take stakes in private companies, what they're saying is, you know, we're now in a new phase of this decline, and you know, this is kind of like, you know, what's the is the word tribute? You know, like you want to play, you want to be based in the US. Howard Mark is it? Who's Howard? Who's the Treasury? No, who's the Treasury?
The Scott Bessent and Howard Lutnick.
Howard Lutnick talked about this, and he said, you know, the American people need to start taking a piece of these businesses that are benefiting from being in the US. We have not seen this where the US government is taking private equity, like equity in public companies. They're taking pieces of these companies. This is how they're get tracking now to try and get out of the emergency that the US is in. You know, they are in a dire situation right now that they cannot get out of it. They've proven Elon can't save them with Doge. Howard can't create new revenue through taxes or anything else. So now they're going, right, what companies can we take a piece of? What assets can we get a hold of through the US, you know, investment fund? It's very interesting.
This isn't just, so this is so much bigger than people, I think, believe. This is not just a debt problem. The West or America is now becoming China with US characteristics rather than being the other way around. And I think the reason that this is happening, and we've been on this podcast week in, week out, complaining about various taxes that are being floated, etc. But I believe that the reason that this is occurring is because this is the first innings of the world finding out that with AI and the new technological revolution that we're about to go into, capitalism does not work. Mm. It's capitalism that's broken, and the capitalist system will not survive the AI revolution. And this is the first innings of that, of us seeing that play out. And a lot of people are saying, oh, but we're America and property rights, and forget about property rights. Capitalism is broken, and you're seeing the first stages of that now, I truly believe.
Do you think that other countries will do the same, like Australia, Canada, other countries around the world?
I think it's exactly what you're starting to see. It's exactly what you're starting to see with the taxes, right? The biggest revenue, or not the biggest revenue generator, but it's a significant revenue generator in the US is receipts from stocks and capital gains, or whatever their equivalent tax is, right? And in Australia, housing is a massive revenue generator for the government. So starting to see things like floating bedroom tax, etc., is the same thing. It's just dressed up in a different cloth, right? We're all moving closer to a China model. We will all be moving closer to a China model. Now, you might say, oh, that's terrible, it's commie, this and that. Well, the positive or the optimistic view is that we're going to be moving into a world of abundance. And I think I saw Elon Musk say this recently on X. He said that it's not going to be universal basic income. It's going to be universal high income, that there's going to be so much abundance, so much wealth generated through AI. The cost of energy needs to come down to zero to power all this AI. And so we're going to be moving into a world of an abundance. But it's going to be rocky along the way. And I think that's, you're starting to see system change, like once in a thousand years system change.
Do you feel that way, Mark, in regards to, like, obviously what you're saying is energy prices are to come down, but if energy prices are monopolized, which they already are, isn't they who control the energy control the price?
I'm saying in the short run, energy prices are going to go up. We're going to have grid failures. We're going to have shortage of energy. Energy prices are going up. But I think because energy is the main bottleneck to a future of AI and robotics, the incentive then becomes, so it's a war. It's the CCP versus USA, right? And it's this race to artificial general intelligence, because that's going to have military implications. It's going to have productivity implications, every implication. And there's no other country in the world other than China and the US that are in this race. That's the race. And it's for them to gain dominance in artificial general intelligence, it's in their interest. It's finally been in their interest to bring the cost of energy down to zero. right? So they what they'll need to do is create the technology to do that, whether it be solar, battery storage, hydro, coal, nuclear. It's going to be they're going to use everything in their power to try and get energy as cheap as possible, because if energy prices are too high, they lose, right? And so that is going to create wealth for the government and for the people who control this technology, and that wealth will then be used to provide the citizens with universal high income.
I got a question for you. It's a very serious one now. Yeah. Are you capturing the energy reflecting off those sunnies that you're wearing, man? For those of you guys can't see Mark, every time he talks and his head goes up and down, it's just this glare, Blood this show. Reflection of these amazing sunnies that he's wearing. But no, I definitely agree with you in regards to energy is going to go up, definitely, and there will be a fight for the technology around it, definitely. And who knows, like, you got guys like Elon Musk, who in my opinion is, you know, if not the smartest man in the world at the moment, he's probably working on something multiple times bigger than what we already think that is just solar, you know? Like, it's just, there's so many things happening in the background that then all of a sudden we hear about, you know, a year, two, three, four, 5 years later, that it's a surprise to us, but these guys have been working on it for so long. So I agree with you.
I want to pivot, not pivot, but just add a little layer of this. And Mark, I tend to agree that the question about capitalism is interesting, you know, because I find myself, like, when people ask me, you know, what business should I start? I just say, don't. Like, and that's like, I think about 30 years as an entrepreneur, and I've that's been my life. For most people, the answer is don't for the first time in my life. It's like, learn to invest, because your risk profile is probably significantly lower just backing the winners rather than trying to become a winner for most people, especially in the day and age we're in now, or unless you're in the AI game and you've got some way of piecing the AI together and you're super bright and you can follow that. I think that's a viable thing, but very interesting. One thing I heard this week, which is a bit of a conspiracy theorist, but I heard this from, I can't say who, but somebody who would know. And they said that the scary thing about this UBI, and a lot of this, these stories like the bedroom tax and stuff, it's all strategic, right? So these stories about the bedroom tax, and it's obviously gone viral on social media, that the short story for those of you who missed it is that it was floated at the talk fest that happened in, I think, Sydney or Canberra, that this past week or two, that one of the proposals was to tax empty bedrooms in Australia. So if you have a three-bedroom house and there's only two bedrooms being used, you get taxed on that third bedroom in the hope that you'll sell your home, freeing up that third bedroom for people who need it, right? That was so it's such an outrageous proposal. It's basically when Australians are out of their minds, frustrated with, you know, 1,500 immigrants a day landing when we've got a housing crisis, but the government's basically, the proposal to the government was basically, yeah, let's tax Aussies out of their homes to make room for the immigrants, right? That's literally what it's saying. But when you look beyond the rage, you realize what they're actually doing is softening you up to deliver what they want. It's like when you negotiate a house and you say, listen, I'll give you, you're asking $850, I'll give you $850, but I want a swimming pool. 100%. And they're like, and then they go, well, yeah, sorry, you're asking $850, I'll give you $800, but I want a swimming pool. And they go, are you out of your mind? Blah, blah, blah. And I say, all right, look, don't worry about the swimming pool. And they go, all right, okay, we'll do it. So it's the same strategy, right, that they're doing here, is they soften up the public. But the scary bit that my friend told me in above this, and this person's in a position to know, let me just say that about how the government works. They said this is what they do. The talk fest is a tool to anger Australians, to soften Australians up for what's actually coming and what's actually planned. But the scary bit was this. With this digitized currency that's coming, we talked about CBDCs, that's programmable money. They said there is nowhere in the world that has the technology yet to do this social credit score stuff, like they're proposing with the eSafety Commission, where they do the facial recognition and all this. There's only one place in the world that has the technology developed for that level of surveillance. Do you know where that place is? Guys, I'll give you one guess. What country has that level? No. Outside of Australia, if we had to borrow the tech from somewhere,
China. Dubai,
China. Yeah. Right? So, And then you look back and they were saying, just take a look back through and see how cozy Albo's been with the Chinese. And, you know, imagine if it came out, and this is an early conspiracy theory, that the technology that they're going to use for this e-safety commission is Chinese technology.
And they're worried about TikTok. Fuck me.
Imagine if that comes in. And I'm not saying it's happening. I'm putting it out there as a crazy conspiracy theory, because I've got to say the conspiracy theories are actually just forecasters at this point.
They're winning. They're like 100 zip.
I'm actually still thinking about this spare bedroom tax. I thought it was all negative me sleeping in the spare bedroom, but I guess it's a positive thing. I want to be saving some money now that I use that bedroom, which is a good thing. It's always a positive. It's always a positive to a negative, eh?
And knowing you, Eric, you'd sleep in each bedroom to save.
That,
what do you mean? I've used that?
I'll just bundle a few brother backpackers, and I'll be sorted in the belly.
Set his alarm every 3 hours to go to the next bedroom.
Rotation.
But honestly, every so often you got to crack a little bit of a joke, eh? Because some of this stuff,
it's fucked up.
It's hard. It's actually very hard to digest, and it's actually quite upsetting. Like, I was talking to my wife the other day. We're just sitting down, and I'm like, I love living here. You know, like, I love the Gold Coast. Like, I love the beaches. I love the lifestyle. Awesome. I love the weather, right? But then there's all this other shit that compounds onto it, going, like, we're literally sitting on Burley Hill, right? The girls are playing and we're looking at the surf. And it was a beautiful sunset. But then there's a part of me that goes, like, I don't know if I'm going to be here much longer. And it's sad because I've never, ever thought like that before. But the reality is, all these stories, all these things, yes, they're all just a lot of this is just, you know, they're coming up with, ideas, right? But let me tell you, there's going to be a fair few ideas that they're going to implement that is going to piss a lot of people off.
I can tell you, Eric, from sitting here, I mean, I'm sitting on the Med right now in Cyprus, right? But Australia is the most beautiful country. Like, I'm telling you, as somebody who left, you will not beat Sydney Harbour. You will not beat Gold Coast beaches. You will not beat Byron Bay footage that you see on Mark's Instagram that I often comment on when he's down there with Frankie and that. It is such a beautiful place. It is so pristine. And this is why I'm so frustrated, because I want to come back to Australia at some point, but I want to come back to Australia. I don't want to come back to some fucking shithole that has got call to prayer being pumped out all over the city with tents everywhere, right? Like, and I know this is going to outrage people, but I love Australia, right? And so it is a pristine, beautiful country that is worth fighting for, and it needs to be protected. And it's crazy. And I just want to play this I want to point another thing out here. Because this is really important. If we have any lefties listening, which I highly doubt at this point, we should probably blame them in the first 10 minutes.
A few left-handed, right?
We've got one. Yeah. Eric's best mate.
But if we do have any lefties listening, let me just tell you what the fuckcards that lecture you at universities in Australia right now, these morons that are pushing this lefty bullshit through your young mind, is that here's how it actually works, right? If you think that taxing the rich is going to work, it never works. The rich, especially today, are mobile. They will just leave, right? They will sell their real estate, they will pack their shit, and they will go. And trust me, as beautiful as Australia is, there's also lots of beautiful places available to people with money anywhere. You want to go to Dubai and live in a bubble? No problem. They'll put you in an estate full of multimillionaires who just hang out with each other like the Hunger Games. They will go, right? Even here in Cyprus, right? There are beautiful pockets here that are full of rich people. So don't kid yourself thinking that people are just going to stay and eat shit forever. Once the money leaves, then what you've got is a situation where the taxable people have gone, the middle class is broke, and then guess what happens? The government has no option, and they do one thing, they print, right? And when they print and it goes into hyperinflation, then the country fails, right? That's what happens. And this is not like an opinion. This is what's happened over and over and over again. And it'll happen. It's happening right now. Anybody who's in the migration, immigration, second visa business right now is crushing it. People who are in Dubai selling real estate to Australians, to people coming in from the UK, are crushing it. And so you need to understand that taxing the rich, I've left. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm already gone. But there's going to be plenty more that are going to follow if things don't change.
Think about this, right? There was a stat that I read in regards to this 2% wealth tax, right? The top 10% of Aussie income earners already pay 50% of the income tax in Australia. So imagine if a big portion of those people leave. Where is that money going to come from? Exactly what you just said.
The middle class. This is the reality.
But
this
is
the middle class is not good for it. They're broke. No. The middle class is broke. People are buying their groceries on buy now, pay later. The middle class can't pay. The rich go. It's printing time. And then you just turn the country into Venezuela.
Mm. Did you see that little meme? It was, I think there's a bunch of Arabs and they were talking about Australia and tax. And that was laughing. What's this thing you call tax? This is ridiculous. We don't understand why you want to give half your euro away for nothing when you don't need to. Like, how fucked is this idea? They just couldn't comprehend it. It's incredible.
That's what happens when you get lefties running the government. They think that tax is the way to do it. It's like, no, we have resources. We have infrastructure. We have great companies.
And it just it happens slowly, right? Without you noticing.
At first.
Then you can see it. Like some of these, like on that talk that they had over the last week, I got a good mate of mine, Chris, right? Sends me all kinds of stuff all the time. And every second article he's sending me, right? And again, he's a wealthy guy, successful business, right? And he's ready to rock. Like he's literally going to Dubai, right? Mm-hmm. To check it out. Like he's checking out schools. He's checking out equestrian centers, you know, for the daughter. He's looking, right? But every second article, he's like, look at this one. Look at this one. Look at this one. Look at this one. Like, it's fucking depressing is what it is.
Eric, I had a Manect this week, right? I get probably 2 to 3 calls a week. And I'm not cheap. I charge $2,000 an hour, right? And I'm getting bookings consistently from people. People who found me on the Nomad Capitalist site because I'm speaking at the event or on Manect or whatever. So this guy makes a booking. And I'm like, on Manect, he's paying me $400 for 15 minutes, right? And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I put that price because I didn't want to talk to anyone. Anyway, I get the call, and it's an Aussie, right? Because it comes through on the app and it's a video. And this guy is from the Sunny Coast. I won't say his name. And he starts off, he goes, mate, I got $150 million worth of commercial real estate. I'm selling up. I'm leaving. I'm out. I've spent my whole life building it, and my dad before me. I'm done. And I'm getting calls like this. I mean, you guys know in our trading group, in the last month, I've spoken to 4 guys with over $100 million worth of real estate that are selling up and leaving.
Well, you wonder why Manect is here.
No. You know what I'm going to start doing? Like, I've got, and this is how entrepreneurs need to think, right? So Adam charges $400 for 15 minutes.
On Manect.
I'm going to charge $200. I'm going to call Adam for free. Speaker, right? And make the arbitrage. How's that for an idea?
The funny thing is, guys, like, and these guys, people, I know some people sitting there going, who the fuck would pay? Like, here's the thing. When you get on the phone with these guys, they're not watching the clock. They don't even care. They're rich. They don't care about that. I said, why are you manecting me? He said, because I'm going to be in KL and I just want to make sure I can have dinner when I get up there. I'm like, I just want to meet you. So when I come say hello, we can go have dinner one night while we're there. And I'm like, cool. That's how people do shit that have money. They don't think like other people.
But the thing is, you're an inspiration to a lot, Adam, because you've actually done it. That's the difference. Yeah, right? Yeah. Sitting here and complaining about the same thing over and over and over again, right? And not making a change is a problem. You've actually done it. So people are out there looking at you and going, holy shit, this guy's done it. What does he know that I don't know? Because it's the unknown, right? Like you've literally sold the, you know, $7 million property. You've sold the dream. You've sold the cars. majority of people, right, would have a stroke thinking about doing that. Never mind even doing it. So in my opinion, it's very good value to talk to someone that's actually done it.
And that's
the thing, is taking action is the hardest thing to do. But there's more and more people, like people in my circle, same thing. We've already had multiple friends and acquaintances move, you know? And then my parents asked me, why would they move? Like, they don't understand. They just don't understand, because they're not in that space, right?
So they're not writing those checks.
No, correct, right? So when you're the one actually paying, like
I'll give you an example. Like, this is just, you know, like, just
rate notice after 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 rate notice of fucking property rates that I need to pay these 6 months. And then guess what? 6 months goes by, and that's never mind tax. Tax is all on top of that. And then people will sit in the comments, oh, well, you can afford the property. But like, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that is just, and it's what I mean. It just slowly goes, right? It's slow. And I was talking to someone last week. He's like, man, the money just comes in and goes out quicker. And that's what it feels like, right? And that's with us, gratefully, you know, with successful businesses, and we've done all right. But how about the people that, like, what I don't understand is, like, the middle class, which is disappearing, right? And the people listening to this, like, how are they? They're not. They're just paying. They're just living, man. And this is a problem. Like, people on $100,000 a year, right, should not just be living, right? $100,000 a year used to be not a bad wage.
It was a goal, Eric.
Right? Like, not too long ago.
I'll give you an example. There's an article here in from realestate.com. I was reading it just before, and it's a reveal a salary you need to be viewed as rich in Australia. And this is by Finder, what a researcher. Australians wouldn't feel rich unless they earned a minimum of $400,000 a year, although views of a good pay packet varied by generation. And like, that's a 7x the median personal income. I mean, to feel rich in Australia these days, you're going to be like $500,000 a year for Gen X. It's just nuts. I mean, to even get your head above water, like, to own those properties that you've got there, Eric, and it was a cool, a nice flex to see all the rates notices, but that's just a small portion of it. When you then throw land tax and all them, because they're investment properties, I mean, that builds a whole
lot. Those are separate ones, but the reality is,
that's what I'm saying, you got land tax on top.
Yeah, but there's a lot of country, like, again, I'm not trying to do it to flex it. I'm trying to, like, the reality is there's many other places that have none of this. And these are the things in my mind, right? Like, somebody needs to pay this. Then go into a file. There's then a bookkeeper that needs to, like, there's so many ongoing costs. It's not just about getting it, you know?
These people who have got the capital and the assets and everything that are wealthy that are saying, you know what, I'm just going to sell up, I'm going to leave. But I'm getting messages from people who are way wealthier than me that have had family businesses and been running these family businesses for years, doing property developments as well. And now they're messaging me saying, boys, keep it up. Keep up the stuff you're doing on the pod, because I'm about to sell my family business and, you know, look at starting to invest, right? So that is kind of like what you said earlier, Adam, to learn to invest, because then that's the first step for these people with businesses, is to learn to invest their capital a little bit more smartly. Then they buy themselves and invest in the freedom to be able to move, right? And so you're seeing it from all levels. All levels of people are now looking at what's out there. They're listening to podcasts. They're talking to ChatGPT, and they're finding a way to, you know, moving has never been so simple.
Mark, I got a message this week. Again, like, I posted my trade result this week. So last week we did a monster trade with our AI trading group, and I got $250,000 invested there, right? And in 1 week, made $80,000 on one trade, right? And I posted that saying, look, you know, it's been a really great week. And, you know, this is what I talk about, these opportunities. And it's been flying because we're using AI, which I think is a perfect use case for trading. And it was really good. But I got him, and I put up a post and I said, look, guys, the point of the best part of being where I am now is not the money. It's the bandwidth. And I was walking along the marina here in Cyprus, and I was like, I'm dealing with clients that are messaging me from Australia going, hey, I want to get involved in what you guys are doing with the trading. And they are under so much, like, I'm trying to get advice from my accountant as to how I have to structure this, and I have to do it through a trust. And then they're getting held up in the process with the platform. And it basically, it all comes down to, we're trying to minimize the amount of tax we've got to pay. And like, I'm sitting there at a cafe on the edge of the Med, not giving a single fuck because it's not taxable here. And you're just like, you know, like, and it's not the money, it's the bandwidth of all the compliance bullshit. Because when you get to 50, all you want is peace. You don't want some, you got to pay out thousands of dollars to the account. You got to do a Zoom call who's then going to audit your transaction log and then offset it against what income. And you put it through the trust and distribute it to your family members. You just get used to this fuckery. Mm. And but when that fuckery is out of your life, you're like, oh my God, is that how my butt is supposed to feel without a dick in it? Oh shit.
On a lighter note, talk about the fuckery in the banks and the, like, but Emma, I just opened up a CoinSpot account, Westpac account, I've shoveled across 20 grand, tried to put another 70 odd grand, ping, fucking banned, locked out of the account, fraud, it's been locked up for 3 days and obviously wants to put some money in this trading
with
thing.
Westpac.
And Westpac and fucking
Westpac's usually the best.
Oh, I know. Mark, that's what
bank, every bank, Mark. I'm getting us every day, every second email.
Right. So she's talking. We're on the ringing the fraud number on a Saturday, and I'm just going to talk on speakerphone. Like, no, can't talk to you. Can't be on speakerphone. It's not your account. Can't be giving advice. And she's fucking going, well, what am I supposed to be doing? And I'm like, I was just starting to fume, just going, this is fucking wrong. And so it's still locked up now, and only just got unlocked. Before we started the pod, that's them, and it's like, it's her money to do what the fuck she wants with it, transferring it to. And they said, who are you transferring it to? And we said, well, CoinSpot. Well, why CoinSpot? It's like, do you fucking know who CoinSpot is? You can see all your alphas going to it. It's the number one brokerage in the country, nearly. It's just this bullshit. And then where's it going? And I said, as you know, I said, self custody, cold storage, fuck off. And that's not even CoinSpot asking where it's going. That's the bank giving it to another company in Australia. It's just ridiculous.
Wow.
That's what's happening, man. It's
the capital controls, like, but that's the first version of it. You can't even move your own money, even though you've verified the whole account, then the whole KYC, and they're still saying no. It's like, come on.
It comes a point, it's sad, where they don't, you know, move to the positive side of this and try to incentivize innovation and try to incentivize people to create businesses. And it's all, you know, and it's not hard. History tells the story of what happens. And Mark, you know, you talked about capitalism dying, but it's still way better than socialism. A socialism is the most death-inducing, horrible thing. But unfortunately, it's probably more popular now than capitalism in Australia. It's just crazy, crazy stuff. So, anyway.
Just for the record on that, I don't necessarily think that socialism or communism is going to be the thing that comes in and replaces capitalism, by me saying that I think capitalism won't make it. But I think there will potentially be some sort of new regime that blends a little bit of the two, right? Who knows? We'll see.
While we're on this, it's a good time to drop in there.
Just call the commie in the comments.
Yeah, I was just going to say it. You know, like, it's amazing. The amount of people that have been reaching out to us, Adam, just in regards to Dubai, right?
Yeah.
Like people, I mean, it's a big trip, right? It's not like it's just a couple hour trip, you know? So what we have confirmed is October 23rd and October 24th, we're going to get a crew of people coming to Dubai. One day we're going to be talking about real estate. We're going to have in-room at a hotel for a few hours, talking to governing body of Dubai, like someone from government, developers, and also a real estate agent talking about Dubai property. And then what we're going to do is rent a coach bus, large coach bus, and going through different developments and seeing some of the infrastructure projects. Then we're having dinner on that first night. And then on the 24th, we're going to go back to the same hotel function room. And Adam's organizing some people talking about crypto, obviously Bitcoin, obviously the trading that Adam's been doing and a lot of others. And then after that, we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to have basically just a chill out session, unstructured, very casual, at a day club, hanging out, beach club, and then dinner that night. So we've now confirmed the dates. We just mentioned it last week at the end of the pod, but we've now confirmed the dates. That's this October 23rd and the 24th. Our landing page is not up yet. We have a podcast coming up, coming out on Tuesday. We'll have the landing page set up then. But if any of you guys want to know more and want to come on this trip with us and come hang out and meet some amazing people doing amazing things, send your details to hello@unemployable.com.au. First name, last name, mobile number, and email, and how many there are, because we've actually been getting a fair few inquiries already, and a lot of couples and husband, wife, and kid, which is quite interesting. So what did you want to add to that, Adam?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be there with the tour. I'm going to bring in some pretty amazing people. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to get Mark and Lisa along, who are my trading partners who manage all of that. Just for context, our trading group last week, just our clients that joined me off my socials, made over $4 million last week off that one trade, which is extraordinary. So Mark and Lisa are the owners of the company. They're Aussies in Dubai, and they make millions of dollars a month tax-free living there. So, you know, the type of people that you're going to meet by being there is extraordinary. And, you know, this is what it's about. It's about getting out. But for a lot of people, it's about giving themselves permission, right, to actually just jump on a fucking plane and get their head out of Australia just for a minute to see what's going on out in the world. And you never know, like in my lifetime, it's always been through things like this where you just meet one person who says one thing that changes the whole direction of your life. And you, later in life, you can connect those dots by looking back. But you're basically going to be in a small room. And I know a lot of the guys from our private chat group are going to be there. And in that chat group, I was looking at who's in that chat group the other day. There's
heavy hitters in there.
Fucking heavy hitters in there, bro. Like we've got people running multi-hundred-million-dollar funds, people with eight-figure net worths. Nine-figure net worths and eight-figure net worths. So there's a lot of serious people. And just you'd meet them and you would never know until you know, right? And so this trip actually just started off as something we promoted in our private WhatsApp group. Just to our mates going, hey, look, we're just thinking about going out and hanging out with Natalie for a couple of days to have a look at some fancy Dubai property. And then it sort of spread organically. People were like, hey, can I come to that thing that you guys are doing in Dubai? And we're like, well, it's not really a thing. We're just going to go on a property tour. And now it's turned into like, okay, let's do 2 days and just see who wants to come. So it's going to be fun. Like, I love these things and it's going to be awesome.
I'm actually bringing Jen and the girls. We're going to go for 10, 12 days, make a trip of it. And then obviously spend a couple of days with the crew. But yeah, for me, it's proximity. So what we're doing right now is working out the costs of things. Obviously the lunches and the dinners and the rental of the hotel function rooms and the coach buses and stuff like that. We'll have that by the end of the week. And then we'll reach out to everybody and let them know what that will cost to be, you know, part of that crew over those couple of days. But yeah, I'm actually really, really, really looking forward to it. I've been doing so much research in Dubai and what's happening there and the infrastructure and just pretty cool.
The following week on the Tuesday and Wednesday, for those of you who are looking at those dates, that's a Thursday and a Friday, and then it's the weekend. But on Tuesday, Wednesday, the following week is Blockchain Week Dubai. So it's a 2-day event on crypto. Yeah. In Dubai, there'll be thousands, tens of thousands of people there. So if you're interested in learning more about crypto, you'll be able to go to a display with Solana or XRP, and you'll actually be able to go and talk to people who work at the foundation for XRP and find out what it is and whatever. But, you know, a lot of times, look, guys, I know a lot of times you see these things, you look at the cost of it all, but, you know, like of a flight to Dubai and getting accommodation, different things. But I've never, ever, ever regretted doing and investing in this stuff. Like as soon as the wheels are up and as soon as I land, I can just feel my soul and my heart opening up and your mind gets stimulated. I got back from Prague and I'm still buzzing after that Bitcoin event now, just the people I've met. And so it's just a case of getting in there and getting onto it. So it's really cool. So is there anything else I wanted to mention quickly before we wind this one up? Yeah, so send the info through, guys. Last thing I wanted to take us out on, we got a sponsor. Is there anything else anybody wanted to drop in? Are we good?
No.
No? We're good. So I just wanted to do a shout out to one of our followers. So we were doing these shout outs to business owners who follow us, who've got a product that they send into the studio. Today is a little bit of a different one. This is one of our followers. He's in his 60s. He's an awesome dude. He watched one of our early pods where we talked about using artificial intelligence to create music. And so there was two interesting stories here. I'll just tell you them both quickly. One is Matt St. Onge in Melbourne. Matt watched that episode, went on to Suno, which is a software that I showed on the one of our early pods, and said, how cool is this? You can like put in to ChatGPT, write me a song about this, and it gives you the lyrics. And then you go to Suno and you upload it to Suno and you say, I want this to be a rap song or a country song or a folksy song. And then AI turns it into a music for you. And Matt went on to create a channel called DIY AI, or DIY Tech, I can't remember, but he's now got, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 followers. And Suno have now contacted him to sponsor the pod and fly him out to the States to be on a panel. And he's just absolutely loving it. So that's a great story, right?
Wow, he created a song for my pod as well, for the Money Market to him. It's a rap song. I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah, so go and check Matt's channel out. But the other one is a guy who's in his 60s, and he also saw it, and he started playing around with AI music, and he's now created a brand called Benny the Bear, and he makes cartoon music clips using this Benny the Bear character, and he does it all on AI, and he does it for free, and he started a YouTube channel, and now kids all over the world are watching Benny the Bear on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for really young kids. And so he made us a song to take out today's pod. If you're on YouTube, you'll be able to watch it. If you're not, you'll have to go to YouTube to see the animations, but you better hear it as we take it out. But Benny the Bear is going to take us out today. It's an Australian listener in his 60s who's built a community around Benny the Bear. He's working on merchandise now to sell to the Benny the Bear community because the kids are asking for, how do we get a Benny the Bear? And so he's going to be selling bears and T-shirts and things. I just think it's such a cool story of somebody finding somebody they're genuinely passionate about. He's engaging with parents who just love Benny the Bear. So we're going to let Benny the Bear. And this song was written. It's unemployable. Benny the Bear singing an unemployable song on a guitar.
These like we've just bashed, you know, becoming an entrepreneur and not wanting to start businesses, but these are going to be the types of businesses of the future, right? These are businesses that didn't exist, but these will be the types of businesses of the future that where you can make someone smile or you can build a community around your attention and your product. These will be what we will be spending our time doing. So I think these are fantastic. We should definitely share more people who are doing stuff like this on the pod.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take us out. Make sure you enjoy Benny the Bear. Follow the channel. If you've got kids or you know people with kids, refer it over. And even if you're just interested in his business model, send him a message. You know, go to the Benny the Bear channel, send him a message, ask him how it got going, because this knowledge could be applied to anything. You can release albums. You can create brands with AI. You can release merchandise. It's really, really powerful. It's like a DigiWiggles. DigiWiggles.
Well, All right, guys. That's like Miss Rachel. Like Miss Rachel's had over 1 billion views, and just someone who created a anyway, this is huge. We should talk about it more.
It's super positive, yeah. With that said, guys, let's call it on this one. Thanks for watching, everybody. Drop us a like, drop us a comment. Let us know if this is adding to your week, and most importantly, share the pod with your friends and family, and make sure you're hitting that little subscribe button. Have a great week out there. Bye for now.
funniest Benny beat in this town.
Hey there, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.